Father, may we pick up the hour, the urgency, the immediacy of the time that we live in. Father, unless in your mercy and grace this can be revealed from heaven, we will simply just procrastinate. It will just be another sermon. It will just be another meeting and just acting in a religious way. But Father, help us to hear, not with simply the mind, but with the heart, a heart that is right before you, a knee that is bowed. Father, whatever it takes, cause us to be desperate, to be a discerning people, to walk wisely in this hour, to not be drawn into all these various things that are going on, Father, where man today is trying to create a revival, trying to get the hand of God to work. Father, we are at your mercy and at your grace. But Lord, you have said that the overcomers, the bride who makes herself ready, will hear what the Spirit is saying to the church today, now, this moment. Father, you're calling us to be a people who will now walk by faith and not by sight, who will trust you totally for everything. For Lord, we are seeing now the world beginning to crumble. And it's in that crumbling state that they are now beginning to move towards devices, means, that they can try and create this utopia that we know will be headed by Antichrist. But Father, they're failing to see that this is a shaking. And this shaking, not only that begins first in the house of God, but is now beginning to work, Father, in the world. It is a shaking to bring one thing, repentance, a turning away. But man will always find an excuse. And that is why he will be open to deception, to the Antichrist that will finally come soon. So Lord, make us, help us to be those wise virgins coming today, not only with an anointing oil, but also those vessels that still have need of filling up. Fill our cup, Lord, that it may overflow in your mercy and grace, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I want to speak this morning. It's really an exhortation, and we look at this many, many times. But our preaching this morning, and its title is Faith and Relationship Are Vital. Faith, Relationship Are Vital. We are told that faith needs the Word. Without the Word of God, you will not have a faith. You will not have a faith that will stand, endure in the last days. We're told that faith comes by hearing, reading the Word of God. It's not simply hearing, it's not simply reading. It is reading and it is hearing in a state where this could be the last day for your life. It is listening and reading in a state where your very soul could be required before God this night. That is what the Spirit is working within us. It is, if you like, a desperation. Not of fear, but a desperation that is coming because of what God is doing in your life and what you see and what you hear. And if you are open to God with that, you will find that there is that desperation. There is that race. There is an immediacy within you, an alarm, if you like, that we haven't much time. And this will cause you to hear, to listen. These are the very means in which God works so that you can mix faith with that which you hear. Remember, the children of Israel failed to possess the promised land because they failed to mix faith with that which they heard. What was their problem? We can't go wrong because we are the seed of Abraham. We are under Moses' law. We are God's chosen people, therefore we cannot go wrong. That was the nature, that was the attitude, that was the spirit that was behind them. And it caused them to perish. Let that never be a complacency found, certainly in this assembly. We walk by faith, and it is only by faith that you will make it into the kingdom of God. You have no surety as far as outward documents. You have no surety even because you attend a certain church, or your works, what you do for God, how much you put into the church. We walk at the end of the day by faith, and it is by the mercy and grace of God that I will make it into the kingdom of God. So faith, relationship are vital. And the word of God, as I said to you, faith comes by the word. But the operation of faith is also needed by love. For love, faith is a fruit. And it grows, it matures, it develops. Now love is the relationship side where we walk with God. And this is expressed by our total love for Christ. You have to have this total love for Christ if you are going to have a faith that will glorify God, a faith that will bring you into the kingdom of God, but also a faith that will embrace these promises that God gives, and a faith that will believe to be part of the bride of Christ that will be raptured in the last days. And all of this is based on relationship. And we have found probably over the last 12 years, 15 years, a great emphasis now in relationship, in walking with the Lord Jesus Christ. You're no longer babes anymore. You are growing up into adulthood as sons, daughters, that Galatians speaks of. And therefore you are learning this relationship side that is essential to walk with Christ daily. Because this is now where really faith works. And I'm going to open up into this further. But there are still some basics that can still be the hindrance as to why we don't have this relationship with God as we should. And I said to you that this is expressed by a total love for Christ. A total love for Christ. Where do we see that? Well, turn with me, if you will, to Luke 14. I want to just remind you of some principles that either are there, but if they're not there, then they need to be there. Luke 14, and we'll look at we'll take it from verse 25. And here it's under the area of where we leave all for Christ. We leave all for him. And our great multitude with him, and he turned and he said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father, mother, wife, children, brothers, sisters, yes, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Only disciples make it into the kingdom of God. Not church people, not good attendance, not your works, not how moral you are, not by your background, your nationality, your creed. My Bible says only disciples make it into the kingdom of God. Period. And man will do all he can, and you can read all the commentaries, and they'll give you all the answers under the sun why that doesn't actually mean what it means. Christ means what he says. And when he says also that we are to hate father, mother, wife, children, brothers, sisters, and your own life also, he also means what he says. And that is the controversial side of Christianity. To hold to that, you are labelled today as a cult, extremists. All the words that are used today, the buzzwords today that are used to express against cultism, extremism, and so on. And there so certainly is. There is extremism, there's cultism, and how the devil is using it. The devil is using these extremist groups because it's a way and a means of government passing legislation that is going to make it harder and harder for the Christian church. You can see exactly how the powers of darkness are doing it. See? But praise God, that is no problem to the Christian church. She has a history and testimony that she has stood right through all those periods of oppression. And she will stand in the last day, even though she will be judged, purged. That is why we're seeing God now through the outpouring of the Spirit, calling out a remnant to himself who wish to go on further than just playing at church. They have seen the message of discipleship. Now, it is one thing to say it, it is another thing to walk it. To walk it, you have to settle it. You in no way try to misinterpret Christ's words. He then goes on in verse 27, "And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." And then he goes on about you have to sit down and you have to see whether you want this walk or not. And that's what you have to do. Now, I'm just going to say in passing very quickly as to what Christ meant by the term hate. Jesus is not contradicting himself because he calls us to love our enemies, to love the brethren. So what is he referring to? What is he bringing out here? He's simply saying to hate the alternative to Christ. There is no alternative to a disciple of Christ, where love, commitment, firstly comes to him. Anything that would try to challenge that commitment to Jesus, we are to hate. We don't hate the person, but we hate what works in them to cause you to compromise your stand, your faith, your commitment to Christ. That can either be husband or wife, brother or sister, and it's all there. Uncle, aunt, you name it, whoever it will be. Whoever tries to get you to put them first before Christ, what works in that, which is the powers of darkness, it is that that we are to hate. Are we all settled on that? That is what Christ meant. And again, you can open up all these commentaries and you've got 101 different descriptions telling you what Christ really meant. That is what he meant, is to hate the alternative. Of course we are to love our enemy. In fact, we're to turn our cheek. We are to, if they borrow our coat, we give them our cloak as well. We very often with our enemy have to go that extra mile. So that is what he's meaning. And it comes right back to the conditions of discipleship. So we give that same devotion to Christ that he did to the Father. Nonetheless, the very devotion, attitude, heart, motive that Jesus gave to his Father, you are also to give as well. That is a disciple of Christ. Now, most of you at this moment feel, well, I don't stand any chance. You don't stand any chance. In yourself, in your state, no way do you stand any chance. And that is why Jesus said you have to be a new creation. You have to be born again, not of the flesh, but of the Spirit. He has to put his Spirit, his life, his power, his strength in us. if ever we're to have any hope. So these demands, has God made a mistake? Has God made a mistake over you, over your life? Of course he hasn't. He'd never made these mistakes. And this is where it comes right back to believing that with man it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Why, the disciples were raising this up at times. They were picking up pretty quickly. We don't really stand much of a chance. There were some rum things coming out of them at times, as recorded and seen. And Christ kept saying, yes, it's impossible with you, but it's not with God. And all he requires is that simple, childlike faith. And this is where this relationship is vital to faith. Because relationship shows us that if you're walking with God and close with God, relationship shows that nothing will ever pluck you out of the Father's hand. Because you need that anchoring. You need that touch. You need that knowing from God. He knows that. He has made you the way you are. He has given you those emotions and feelings. But he will work with that. He will work through that with the cross that we take up. But he'll work with that so that you can know that experientially. Because these are the anchorings that we need in our lives. With what we go through, our trials and our tests and so on. So our love for him, in contrast to others, is hate. That's what it means. You would hate the alternative. There is no alternative. That's the radical side of Christianity and discipleship. And I'm not going to water it down. That is what Christ said. And the church would not, a lot of assemblies would not be in the state that they are today if they held true to the conditions of discipleship. Evangelism, a lot of evangelism today does not preach the cost of discipleship. It's an easy way, it's a broad way into the kingdom. But Jesus said it's not. It's narrow, it's hard, it's difficult, it's full of trials. In fact, it is impossible. That's how it actually reads. So we come right back again to faith. To faith, trusting the Lord. Now, when choosing him, something less we are holding on to, or whatever we would hold on to, has to go. Because we're to hate the alternative. That is the word that he has used. Let's turn to Matthew 10. This is still dealing with faith relationship. And our relationship is that we have a total love for Christ. God is a jealous, consuming God. He's not going to share that love with anything or anyone else. Certainly no idol. So Matthew 10, verse 34. And look what this commitment will do. Look what the cross in your life will do. Look what putting Christ first and hating the alternative to Christ will do. Do not think that I have come to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. A total opposite to what governments, the one world government that we're seeing coming up now, and this one world bank coming into place now through all the crisis that's going on. Peace, peace, peace. A utopia. A new world. A new order. Being established, being brought in. And Jesus came right against that. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies will be those of his own household. Wow! Just listen to that. He who loves father, mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son and daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it. He who loses his life for my sake will find it. Have you lost your life when you came to Christ? Should have. You should have surrendered it, given it up. I have no more life outside Christ. My life is and can only be found now in Him. He is my life. He is my all. He is, period. That should be what is working in you by the Holy Spirit. And they are the conditions to make it into the kingdom of God. But not only that, that is where your faith will work. There is no easy solution to faith. Faith is not jumping on the bandwagon and claiming a whole load of promises. It is far greater, bigger than that. You need the author and finisher of your faith in operation in your life, as it'll probably either start or ever finish. Sadly, a lot of people thought they were in faith, but in great trial, it proved that they were not. Like the mercy of God, He always gives hope for repentance. We know that Adam and Eve could have got it right with God when they were challenged, but that pride, that sin that had already entered in, could not see that God was handing out forgiveness. The children of Israel could have been forgiven if they had repented, but refused to do so. Right through Old Testament through to New, you have seen God over and over again meeting. Come now, let us agree. Meeting and saying, let's work this out. Doesn't have to be like this. But man refuses it by his own ignorance, his pride, his stubbornness, and so on. And so when he presents these challenges of discipleship, or you come to a place where you just think, I've lost it all, I've got nothing left. You say, okay, right, let's agree, let's come together, and let's work it through. Because it is not in the Father's heart that any soul should perish, but that it all should come to eternal life. That is His heartbeat. That is His heart. And if you love Jesus, that is the heartbeat you pick up from the Father. And that is why you can pray and intercede one for another, your loved ones, your family, your rebellious children, whoever they may be, because you pick up the heartbeat of the Father. And the faith is there to believe. But God is not going to allow us to share our love, our faith with others. And He's clearly shown it. So what does He say here? He says, I've come with a sword. Now, what is that sword? You know very well. It's the Word of God. It is this book that you hold in your hand, these 66 books, that is the sword that divides a relationship, that will, in need be, will divide a marriage, will divide sister, brother, mother, daughter, neighbor, whatever it is. This holy word that you hold in your hand is a sword, and Jesus said, that divides. Now you better think, when you pick up the word of God next time, whether you want to hold that in your hand or not. Because that is its nature. It is a sword. And it is the most powerful, sharp sword that will divide, cut asunder. Why is God so radical with us? Why does it seem He's so hard? Why does this seem to seem so unloving when we are the product of family? We come out of a family environment. Its nature and so forth. Whatever is the Lord saying? What's He saying then? He's saying to hate the alternative. Now, are you to hate your mother, your wife, your husband, your daughter, whoever it would be? No. Jesus said you love them. So is he again contradicting? He is not contradicting. What he is saying again is that sword comes to divide and break those soul ties. Comes to break and divide idolatry. And most of us who've come out of family life, somewhere in a family or whatever it is, there's either a soul tie or there is either idolatry in operation. And Jesus said, I have to bring the sword to break the spirit of that. Not the flesh, it is the spirit that is behind it. Because otherwise, if he doesn't do that, you will compromise. It's human nature. You will compromise. Every time. And so when God requires whatever he does of you, you won't be able to do it because you'll compromise. You say, well, I can't do that, Lord, because I know for a fact the husband's going to get terribly upset. He'll probably divorce me. You know? And we've, of course, had testimonies in this assembly where husbands or wives are threatened to say, if you carry on going to that church, I'll leave you or whatever it would be. And so it goes on. Well, what other alternative? What other alternative? If you're following Christ, if it means the end of your marriage, praise God. What a privilege. Because God will work that in your heart. Or it means that your rebellious son will go off because he no longer wants to be associated with a Christian family. It's an embarrassment to my lifestyle. Praise the Lord. Count it all joy. Because that is the sword that comes down to divide. It comes to divide you from the spirit of this age, which will otherwise control you. We are in two choices now that's being presented to us. It's either the kingdom of God or the kingdom of Antichrist that's coming up fast. They are the two choices now being presented before us. You get and listen to the news. It's horrendous what's now taking place. It's all being prepared. The new world order. You're seeing a new bank, World Bank, coming up now. It's all taking place. One World Bank. Well, as you begin to see a One World Bank coming now, that gives power to the Antichrist and the Antichrist system. That's what he holds. And God then breaks that in Revelation 17 and 18 at the end. You see the whole thing crumbles. Man bewailing, lamenting, as it all goes down the plug hole, the drain. But God is allowing it for a season. So where do we stand in all of this? Do we stand in Christ by faith, or do we stand in that system? Because that system will bring a mark. And many, many believers are going to have to take a decision, a choice. Whether they take the mark of the beast or they don't. It's already there. The technology for it is there. We know police forces now are taking it. A little chip that goes in, got all their ID, everything, banking, the lot, medical, you name it. Every reference that's needed is all recorded there. And they have their own personal number, ID. The lot. The technology has been there, I'm told, for the last 10 years. It's just getting the right time for us. And we see so much of the Christian church is asleep to what is happening around them. The hour is to awake. The hour is to get in prayer, intercession. The hour is for you to work out your own salvation in fear and trembling. And that brings me to the final point of why Jesus said it is a sword and you're to hate the alternative. Because if you truly love Christ, you will love your soul that has been made new in Christ and that you want to make it home into the kingdom of God. And that is why you're to work out your own salvation in fear and trembling. That is the most healthiest thing for any Christian, because you cannot get anybody else saved. They can only be saved by your faith, believing in God's promises that he will save loved ones, family, and so on. You see? So when we begin to see this in this light, we begin to see the immediacy of the hour that we live in. That there isn't that much time. that there is no time for complacency, for falling off to sleep, or whatever it would be. But God is not going to allow us to share our love, our commitment, putting Him first before anyone else. You can't put your faith in others. It is only a faith in God and His word, period. And that is why He has to come with a sword, because if that sword doesn't work, your faith is going to start to trust in the arm of the flesh. It will. That is human nature. That is human nature. Very humbling, but that's how we are. And so you see, for this expression of our love for others is going to quicken our faith. If we love the Lord, then our love for His promises is going to quicken our faith for others and for those things and our family to be saved. But our love is first and foremost committed to Him. But if it is the other way round, if it is idolatrous, or if there's still that sword that's got to cut that soul tie, you are not at the moment believing for your loved one. You cannot believe for me. It's a completely contrary to the principle of God's word. And you know whether you're in faith or not, because I'm saying to you that faith is vital. Relationship is vital to faith. And relationship touches God. When I'm touching God, my faith is touching God. My belief in the word of God is touching God. It's all part of it. And so when I touch God, the conditions are met. That sword has done its work. Whatever hindrance, the sword of the which is God's word, has to come down and divide. And the moment it's divided, it's severed, I am free to touch God. The mercy seat. That's our problem. When we don't quite meet the conditions in God's word, or we're not believing, then you cannot touch. The sword has not done its work. It has to divide. That's its nature, you see. You know, somebody said this: to share our love for Him with others resolves loving neither. You try and share your love you have for Christ with others, you will land up loving neither. That will be the result, end of it. Tragic. So it is a commitment, a love first and foremost for Christ. Yes, it is radical. But the good news of it is, God never makes a mistake. He knows the very best for us. He knows our nature. He knows us better than ever we know ourselves. He knows we will compromise. He knows we'll put others first before Him and everything. And that is why He has to come with the sword. He has to come with the cross. All those instruments speak of death. They're not attractive. The cross certainly is never attractive. The whole nature of the cross was one of those barbaric executions that was given out by the Romans. You were the scum of the earth if you went on a cross. You know, people say, well, at least die with some dignity, but not that way. You know? But that was the way Christ chose to go. And He says also, that is the way that you will go, by daily taking up your cross also. That is why you are outcasts. That is why you are an embarrassment at times. That is why you are odd. You are strange. And yet we still want to go with the world and its ways and flirt with it. I don't want to look odd. I don't want to look strange. I don't want to look different. I'm not talking about now we're all going to put a sack on and start walking around with a sack on our heads. That's not what I'm talking about. And it's just a spiritual thing. We can look odd because maybe at work you've chosen to stand firm on something that is morally wrong. And in your conscience you know it's not right. Oh, that's an odd boy, a religious nut or so forth. That can happen. Or you cannot go along with things that you see. It just comes out. It will work. You don't have to look for it. It will come out. If the Spirit is working in your heart, you will make those stands. We have to make stands in our homes, because our homes are to glorify the Lord. How we live, how we act, what goes on in those four walls, that's to glorify God. Sometimes you've got rebellious children. Yes, they're living in sin, fornication. Do we ignore all that? Or do we take that stand? Because the sword is there. Whatever they're up to. And we know it goes on. We know it goes on in the assembly here. We live in a real world. These are things that are around us. We're in the age and time of Sodom and Gomorrah. Jesus spoke of. Where's the sword? Do you want the sword to fall? But if you love Lord Jesus, you let it fall. He'll do it. He'll do it. He knows you can't do it. He knows it's difficult sometimes. If you've got a son or daughter that doing what they're doing, there's still that soul tie, that hold there, you know. But if you hand it over to God, he'll let the sword come down. And then you watch. Then the healing will start taking place. Or is he or she will. Suddenly salvation is there, coming in. Because the powers of darkness have been dealt with. These are all spirits that are in control. It's the same at work. Sometimes you see compromise. Sometimes you see things really going on that are just, you know, demonic. Do you go along with that? Do you side with that? No. Sometimes you will have to take a stand. I had to. I virtually lost my job because I could no longer in my heart print work that I knew was anti-God, that was... I was in specialised printing that was printing manuals for making bombs and various things like that. How could I, a pastor of a church, working with that, that's helping destroying lives, be involved with that? And I battled with it. I can't do that. I'll lose my job. And how? The devil has a go. But every time I grieved when a job would come and I looked at it, and I just saw this stuff. I couldn't. I said, Father, and he worked it quick. He got me this back. I don't care. But if I lose my job, praise God. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging for bread. The promises were there. And I boldly walked into the office and said, I no longer can deal with this. Can't do it. All right, Kim, okay, we'll deal with it and everything. They came back. It was completely, you know, the opposite. They said, right, you can print and work with other jobs that's just, you know, internal. And and then I had people coming, wow, we respect your stand. What guts you've got and everything. And I wasn't looking for that. I simply did what God showed me and what the word, that sword had to come and divide. Otherwise, I was in division. And the devil was using it. But they eventually tried to put it back on me, you know, that did. And then the Lord worked and I left and so forth. But God was using that to bring me out totally by faith at that point. To trust him, you see? And that's how it works. So I know this sword that comes down and how it works. I know some of you may be... are wrestling still with this. But it must come. It must execute. If deliverance, new life, is to come in and take over. You see, this is the point. And this is where we settle it. This is where the cross comes in. This is discipleship. This is the radical side. You cannot always side with things in this life. Certainly now, how wicked it is, you can't identify yourself with that. You are a new creation in Christ. You can no longer go along with those things anymore. We sooner or later will have to take a stand on moral issues. Our freedom, our liberty is going, friends. It's eroding before us. It's called bureaucracy. laws being passed, one after the other, in this nation we now see a complete violation to Magna Carta. Totally ignore it now, governments do, to what it stood for, and the passing of that law. You want to go and read it? Because we have a new world order coming in, headed by Antichrist. So you need a faith that works, but that faith is only going to work in relationship with the Lord. And relationship can only be when we have submitted, bowed the knees to God's terms of discipleship. And that is going to free you. It's going to deliver you. It's going to free your mind. It's going to put a peace into your heart, your spirit, that passes all understanding. Are we still at times battling? Are we still so oppressed in the mind? These mind-bending spirits working everything. You could probably take it back. You're still resisting the sword coming down, dividing. Must divide. Has to divide. If we are to make it into the kingdom of God. So the comfort is, you see, that although it may outwardly appear very hard, very harsh, very radical, it is actually good news. It is saving us from ourselves. Ourselves are our own worst enemy. We will always compromise. We will always look for an easy way, easy solution. That is human nature. Just let the Holy Spirit do that work. Do not resist him. Let him work it. He will do it. And you're going to start to find you will break through in areas of faith. You'll see you're not battling to believe, but it's there. The promises are there. You know you have received it in Jesus' name. Mark 11:24. All those promises and principles that we've taught you for years and years and years. You know, they're not to battle with. They're not to fight with. Faith is a rest, as we've been shown. But you will never rest unless discipleship and the conditions of it are met. We'll never rest otherwise. Because what God is doing is closing doors in your life and my life. That is fundamentally what he's doing. We've had doors that have been open. He's now closing those doors. That is the deliverance that is taking place. As I've said before, but I've been watching a tremendous deliverance going on in this church over the last, certainly 10 years, 8 years. Tremendous deliverance of ancestral. And how's most of it all come? By the word of God. We've had very little lately of people being prayed for, hands going on or casting out demons. Have you noticed? Very little of that now for the last, 5 years? Very little. Where's the real deliverance taking place? By this. The sword. That's where it's happening. That's why you have to hear it. Not with your head, but with your heart. And every challenge God gives us, there's always grace. There's always mercy. Even with the cross, even with that old sword, there is still with it mercy and grace. Because he loves us. But he's not going to compromise with us. And I praise the Lord, he doesn't compromise with me. He doesn't tickle my ears like man does. He means what he says to me. Yes, there are times I have argued it out with God. What an audacity. What pride. What cheek. But I have. I've argued with him. And in the mercy, in his grace and mercy, he's worked in me where I've fallen flat on my face in trembling and fear. Because he could burn me up just like that. Who are you? Who are you? You know? That's why I keep loving going back over the book of Job. I find Job such a comfort when I read that book. Really do. But look what God did with that man at the end. He blessed him doubly. And that's not our motive. But that is the nature of heart. The nature of God's heart is when he comes to you, he cannot help but bless. That is him. He is blessing. Doesn't have to bless. He is blessing. So when he comes to you, whether it's in healing, blessing you, or a promise that you're believing for, it's far bigger and greater than whatever you conceived. We're so consumed in ourselves and what God's doing with me. But the plan of your life is far bigger. Far bigger. We're believing for our loved ones, which we are and should be. It's a far bigger work he's doing than even you can see. His plan is so different to ours, so greater. And so those trials, what you're just locked into, he sees far greater in allowing you to go through that. Because he has a purpose and a plan to glorify his name at the end of it. And the last thing to think about, when you go through the next trial, think this: Father, this trial that I'm going through, and in the flesh I hate it, but this trial is for one reason. It is about your glory. I don't understand it yet, but it is about your glory, and you never make a mistake. Now you start saying that to yourself, and you say that to the devil, you're going to find that you just will be able to praise God in those trials, because you will know God has made no mistake. It is part of his divine plan. That is touching God in relationship. That is your faith reaching out to the Lord. That is faith. Because you need faith for trials. It's not just blessings, not just having bills made. There are many aspects to faith, as we've shown you over the years. But it's down to relationship, and that relationship is a total love for Christ. The same as Christ loved his Father, so it is the same love we have also for our Father. No different. No different. If they hated Christ, they will hate you. And they will. They will, because the sword does it. It is the Word of God. And Satan hates the Word of God, because the Word of God causes him to flee. Jesus used that word in the wilderness, the sword, and you use it like the same. In fact, your life, which the sword divides in your life, that is the word being established. When you put Christ first, that is the word being established and speaking to the powers of darkness. You can do no greater thing than put Christ first in every situation or every trial or everything. That is the word. That's the whole revelation of God's word coming back to Satan, when you put him first. When Christ, what Christ was really doing was putting God first in the wilderness. That's really all he was doing. And Satan knew there was no match. When you put Christ first against Satan, he's not coming against you. He's coming against what's in you. And who's in you defeated him at Calvary. But you've been trying to do it in your own strength. You've been trying to get Satan off your back. Never will. He must see Christ in you to flee. He must see the sword there to flee. He must see the conditions, that you've met the conditions. He only has access if he sees you've not met the conditions. Because he knows it. He sees it more than you do. And God says, I've got to open your eyes. And the only way he's going to open your eyes, say, right, Satan, you can have a go for a season. And he uses Satan to open your eyes to what Satan's seeing, but you're not seeing. And when he's done the work, finish. Leave.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Father, we thank you this morning. You are such a loving, merciful Father. Lord, the work you are doing with us now, Father, is rapid, is quick. But you can do it. Father, we often read in the Word of God that we're in a race. But I think that race is really you. You are that race, and you're running it, because you see Satan is there. But you've overcome him, Father, because the church is to be found in you. And so, Lord, we will win that race for your glory. We will overcome, because it's you that's doing it. And our life is hid in you. And Lord, I praise you for that. And Father, we needed to hear this morning. We've all missed it. We're all at times compromising. We know it in our hearts. We know, Father, we don't have to look for a revelation. But Lord, we've been brought back again to the sword of the Spirit, and it must fall. And Father, let it fall. Whatever it is, just let it fall. Because that is where life will be. That's where we're going to make it into the kingdom of heaven. And I thank you, Lord, for this. It is radical. The world will look at it and laugh at us and think what an odd bunch we are. But Lord, it gives us life. It gives us hope. And you're going to come soon to take us home into glory, into eternity. Lord, we live in a most wicked world. It is treacherous. It is barbaric. It is cruel. The love of many waxing cold. People cheating, traitors, heady-minded and arrogant, minds being seared, reprobate minds. Lord, we see it all around us. Father, who could save anyone but you have, because you first loved us. And so, Lord, we are your chosen treasure, your peculiar treasure that's set apart unto you. Just do that work, Father. Whatever it takes, just do it, Lord. Just do it, please. So that we're ready for you, Father. We're those wise virgins going forward. When we hear the call, that we go forward, Father, prepared. Because the rapture is not far away. Let all of us be ready. Let us all be looking up, Lord, as our redemption draws nigh. And so I pray your blessing, peace, will be upon us, Father. Lead us and guide us by your Spirit, we ask. Help us not to go astray. Keep the evil one at bay, Father. And let us be separated unto your glory, for we ask this in Jesus' name.